All right, let's see. I'm going to stop sharing here for a minute. Well, what a difference a year makes. Last year at this time, we were not joining together on Zoom, but in person. And we were celebrating at our annual meeting 3 years of growth in our congregation. We were celebrating the calling of a rector with a big service and a party. We were celebrating the consecration of our new bishop and her first visit to St. Philip's. That was 1 year ago. It seems like 10 years ago. It's really hard to believe that that was just last year. I don't need to tell you how challenging this past year has been in so many ways. The disruption to all of our lives has been immense. The loss of life has been tragic. The anxiety over our own health and that of our loved ones, the loss of jobs, a sharp recession, and for those who had jobs, the need to reinvent them instantly and constantly. For some, it's meant risking infection by continuing to work in person and in public. I think of one of our parishioners who's a police officer and is in the public all the time. For others, it meant figuring out how to shift to working virtually, quickly learning and sometimes fumbling with, and I can resonate with that, new and unfamiliar technology. For parents and kids and teachers, the challenges and uncertainty of where and how school would continue has been enormously difficult. And I know many grandparents who have stepped in as kind of Zoom proctors for their grandkids' education. For those who live alone, especially seniors, the challenge of coping with loneliness and isolation. For those who live and work in nursing facilities, the terrible toll of infections and deaths, and the constant fear and even the isolation from family members, how heartbreaking it is to not be able to see an elderly relative because of this quarantine. And add to that, this past year saw a sharp rise in political polarization and animosity, culminating in an armed insurrection at the Capitol. Of course, all of these challenges have affected the church deeply and profoundly. We are, in many ways, a microcosm of the society at large. We are not immune from pandemics, we're not immune from political polarization or the economy. Part of the pain of this past year was that just when we needed the church most, a place of peace and stability, of spiritual strength, we felt cut off from the church as well. I don't know about you, but I have a new and deeper appreciation for the things I always took for granted. Singing hymns, I'm sorry, it's just not the same on Zoom to sing a hymn. Hearing the choir, hugging at the peace, receiving communion at the same altar rail. I know it's not just me because a couple of times people who came into the church during this past year to read for the live stream or for some other reason have found themselves spontaneously in tears just being in the sanctuary again. You know, we know the church isn't a building, but the building is a repository of some of our deepest memories and connections with God. So, because I've missed these things so much, because I've missed you all so much, I've spent a lot of time reflecting on what makes the church the church. Because make no mistake, we are still the church. We may not have been able to come to church, but we have been the church in some remarkable and amazing ways. Jen Hatchett, our outgoing senior warden, is going to review some of these later in our meeting, but I wanted to highlight just a couple. One was just the flexibility of people in worshiping in new ways. Think of all the different ways we've worshiped this year, from YouTube videos pre-recorded to Zoom to Facebook to parking lot to in the church with limited capacity, back to YouTube, back to Zoom. We have done it all. We have stood outside in the freezing cold, and we have watched from our homes and living rooms. and still found ways to worship God, to lift our hearts and our voices. There's been faithfulness in prayer this year, in some ways more than ever. Our Saturday Centering Prayer Group, led by Paul Bozomowski, has been a shining light, and many parishioners have had a chance. And I hope if you haven't, you will get a chance to engage with that at some point. And our daily noonday prayer service, you know, we pivoted on a dime back in March. We started our YouTube service that very first Sunday with 2 days warning. And then that very next Monday, we started noonday prayer. And it has been going strong from March, whatever it was, 16th through now. It's still ongoing. And I really appreciate the people who day by day by day have showed up at noon for that short service. We've had participation in classes at St. Philip's, adult classes on Thursdays and other times, and a number of parishioners who engaged with the classes offered by the diocese. Our Sunday school, thanks to Pat Wagner, has gone strong on Zoom. I've loved seeing the whiteboard drawings that she's done with the kids on Sundays, and our youth group, who have been meeting on Zoom, who put together a phenomenal pageant. I just crack up every time I see that, and have been ably led by Kathy and Jane. The vestry meetings, the vestry has stepped up in many ways this year, making phone calls to parishioners, trying to keep the connections with our church family. And then a huge amount of work on our buildings and grounds. I want to give a shout out to John Higgins, our junior warden, who has been assisted by Jim Lauder and Brian, our sexton, and Alan Youngman. But John is, if you don't know John very well, John is tenacious. He is mild-mannered, kind, and loving, and utterly tenacious when it comes to seeing a project through. And so we've accomplished just amazing things this year, and despite the pandemic. And then, of course, our ongoing outreach through giving, through working in person. The people have been going to Neighborhood House and Bound Together and other places. And our blood drive, Stephanie Ubeidi has found a way to keep the blood drives going. We had to move from our Great Hall to St. Paul's United Methodist for more space, but she has kept that vital life-giving ministry going. So that's really, to me, some shining lights of this past year. Another one which just keeps resonating in my heart is your generosity as members of the church, which has continued during this challenging year. I don't want to steal Larry Shimatero's thunder, but from my perspective, with lots of anxiety at the beginning of the pandemic and through the year, we ended 2020 in far better financial shape than I certainly feared and expected. And at the same time, we met and exceeded our fundraising goal for the new roof. So I just want to say how profoundly grateful I am for the continuing generosity of the members of this church, which has been an inspiration to me. It's really kept me going. I want to thank our wardens and vestry also, and the many lay leaders who really make St. Philip shine. I'm sure I'll forget people, and I profoundly apologize, but I just wanted to highlight a couple. I've mentioned a few already. Pat Wagner in the Sunday School, Kathy and Jane with the youth group, Elaine Hernandez and the ECW, who do so much work behind the scenes, Eric Hatchett and Jonathan Lindley, who took on both teller duty and the recording and live streaming. They're our tech guys for our COVID-19 task force. Also the COVID-19 task force, which worked very hard to put together, I think, an exceptionally good plan for getting us through this year. The Stewardship and Finance Committee, who ran a successful stewardship campaign in the midst of a pandemic and hosted that fun Light Up the Night celebration that we had last fall. Laura Cumberworth and all the members of the Altar Guild who have had to deal. Now, I want you to know the Altar Guild really likes predictability and stability in our worship. They like to know what the plan is. They have very detailed instructions. And so the fact that we had to change worship month by month by month and roll with the punches, they did an exceptional job in being flexible and really inventive in the ways we were able to have worship. And Larry Shimatera, our treasurer, whom you'll hear from in a bit. And I also want to say thanks to the wonderful staff at St. Philip's, who also were able to roll with all the punches this year. Bonnie Hakey, our bookkeeper, who, please don't tell the bishop this, but Bonnie just kept coming into the office to take care of the books, even when she shouldn't have, because she wanted to make sure that we could pay our bills and keep the church rolling. Brian Vlaming, our sexton, who took the opportunity to do some maintenance and deep cleaning when the church wasn't being used as much. Susan Mason, our former administrative assistant, who left us this year to take a full-time job at Kroger. She was really a wonderful, wonderful staff member, and we wish her every blessing in her new job. And Krista Hughes, our new administrative assistant, who has stepped into the role, from my perspective, seamlessly, and is doing a great job. I hope you get a chance to meet Krista if you haven't yet. And Jim Bain, our director of music, who has come in faithfully to play, to practice, to live stream, and to record music for our worship. He's even bought a new iPhone so that he can use that capability more. So he has been extremely adaptable. And thanks to all the choir members who have found ways to share their gifts through the various media. Nigel was our cantor at Christmas Eve, and Jen and Carl have provided music for some of our events as well. So this new year is going to be different. How? We're not exactly sure yet. We know it's going to get better, but it comes with anxieties of its own. Will the vaccines work? Will we get them in time? Will we be able to heal some of the divisions in our country, even in our families? But this year also comes with hope. Each month, I fully expect things to improve gradually. I wish I could tell you today, I get questions all the time, when we'll be able to return to in-person worship. I know the bishops of Michigan are using the best available data to assess the risks. The House of Bishops actually had a conference call with Francis Collins, the head of NIH, and he encouraged them to use the positivity rates. This may be more in the weeds than you want, but there's a website from Harvard University that tracks positivity rates and gives a color coding to different regions. And of course, red is the worst, orange still pretty bad, yellow getting better, green is great. So what I heard from the bishop, when we move from orange, where we currently are in Southeast Michigan, to yellow, we'll be much more likely to be able to open up, and probably in a gradual way. We'll probably go back to the limited capacity first and then full capacity once more people are vaccinated, once the color looks more green for our area. I know the ECW is already thinking about a festive celebration when that happens. I said we should have a festive celebration every Sunday. I don't think Elaine was completely okay with that, but maybe one big one. How about that? And I'm excited about the possibilities for St. Philip's going forward. We have a good and clear mission. Our budget includes a stretch goal this year of calling a part-time education coordinator. At the end of our meeting, you will have a chance to talk about your hopes and dreams for St. Philip's, the ways you want us to live out that mission, the way you personally want to live out that mission. Because the mission, the ministry, the energy, the ministry of this church comes from you. It's your actions, your vision, and your energy which will carry us forward into this new post-pandemic world. Do you have an idea that fits largely with our mission? Go for it. I want, you know, if 2020 was the year of no, we can't do it, let's make 2021 the year of yes, let's do it. We can do it. What are we going to do? And for that, we need you and your energy and your passion, your ideas, and your leadership. In closing, I want to say how grateful I am for the opportunity to be your rector. I value my relationship with each one of you. I love you dearly, and I want to remind you that I'm here for you. If you're going through any kind of hard time, I hope you'll call me. You know, my cell phone gets published in the epistle. Email, call, let me support you as you go through this incredibly challenging time. The length of the disruption, I think, has been the hardest part. And I know that with God's grace, we can not only survive this, but we can thrive and move forward. I look at this past year as kind of a pause in our upward trajectory as a church, a time for us to gather ourselves and to regroup. And I'm inspired by the words of St. Paul in his epistle today to the First Corinthians, or to the Corinthians. You know, he's talking about the ultimate focus of their community, which is love, caring for those who are weaker, caring for those who are bearing burdens and who are challenged. Having that heart of caring is what makes St. Philip so special and what will carry us forward into this new year. God bless you all. Amen.